Pesachim Daf Pei Dalet. We are starting with the Mishnah. We are here towards the end of the seventh parak of Pesachim. We are detailing many of the halachas of the Karban Pesach. This Mishnah is going to go over which parts of the animal are in fact edible. The point the Mishnah is about to make is that any part of an animal that is edible in a larger, older animal are also going to qualify as edible parts in a younger animal as well. Why are we comparing an older animal to a younger animal? Basic idea of the Mishnah is that older animals are a little bit more stiff, a little harder. Bones have calcified a little bit more. And the cartilages definitely have gotten more difficult to eat and to consume. And so the idea is that when the goat is young, and a Karban Pesach by definition is going to be young, Karban Pesach can either be a goat or a sheep, but when the goat is young, so pretty much any part of the animal, with exception to the bones, are going to be edible. So can we just simply treat every part of the young goat as it is currently constituted? Or do we have to forecast and project in terms of the future and say, well, look, right now it is a soft edible part, but in the future, if we were to allow this animal to get older, so this part would be a much more difficult part to consume. That's basically the point the Mishnah is making. So let's see the Mishnah together. Anything that can be consumed in a large ox, can equally be eaten in the young goat. And the Mishnah says parts of the cartilages as well. Not clear right now what the Mishnah means when it's describing the cartilages, meaning you can eat them, you can't eat them. And that's exactly where the Gemara starts off the discussion, Rabba Rami. So Rabba notes what seems to be an apparent contradiction in the Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah is obviously creating an equivalency between the large ox and the young goat. Whatever can be eaten in the large ox can be eaten in a young goat, and obviously the converse would be true as well. Whatever cannot be eaten in a large ox can also not be eaten in a young goat, despite the fact that the young goat, as it's currently constituted, one would be able to eat it, but the Mishnah is saying that whatever qualifies as consumable parts of a large ox are the only things that are considered consumable parts of a young goat. But then the Mishnah confuses us because the Mishnah says, Rashi cannot find vasachusim. The Mishnah then points to parts of the cartilage of the animal. Parenthetically, the Rashi cannot find are the cartilages that exist on the top of the shoulder blade. That's the way Rashi seems to present it. Anyway, the cartilage, which obviously as the animal gets older is going to get much harder. Vahani lo medachli b'shar agadol. And that's exactly the Gemara's point. Is that when you're dealing with a large animal, you're not going to be able to eat the shoulder blades, the cartilages of these large animals. So that upsets the first rule that the Mishnah just taught us. What we seem to have over here is a contradiction in the Mishnah. Ela tanaihi, v'hachi kitani. So the Gemara now is going to give us two approaches to understand the Mishnah. Here's approach number one, and that is that contained in the Mishnah is a machlokas tanaim. When you read the Mishnah, it's a short Mishnah, you don't really get a sense that there's a machlokas tanaim going on, but the Gemara now points out that because of the stira, we are forced to say that there's a machlokas tanaim. The way to understand the Mishnah now is kol anechal b'shar agad yochal b'gidi arak v'sheinu nechal lo. So first we have the sheet of the Tanakama creating this equivalency. Whatever can be eaten by a large animal can also be eaten by a young goat, and whatever cannot be eaten in a large animal so cannot be eaten on a young goat, despite the fact that the young goat, as is currently constituted, you would be able to eat. And the Yeshomrim, now this is going to be a second opinion of the Mishnah. The second opinion of the Mishnah is that no, that the cartilages of the young goat you're allowed to eat, because right now it is soft and it's edible, and therefore you're allowed to eat it. So we have a machlokas in the Mishnah as understood by Rabba. Rava Amar, Mahin Kitani. So Rava says, no, you didn't understand the Mishnah. That's not the correct way to understand the Mishnah. Rather, Rava says that the right way to understand the Mishnah is the Mishnah is giving us examples. V'hachi Kitani, and this is how we have to understand the Mishnah. Kolanecha b'shar agadol b'shalka. Anything that can be eaten in a large ox with cooking, meaning there are going to be parts of the large ox that are going to be very difficult to eat. And with a little bit of roasting, there's no way we're going to eat it. However, if we were to do shlika, which is really cooking it and overcooking it, and so what one could do is take something which is really hard, a tough piece of meat, or in this case, even a cartilage, and through serious cooking, render it edible. And so as long as you could do that with the shor agadol, yochel b'gidi arach b'tzli, so then you could take the comparative piece of the animal, in this case, let's say we're talking about the cartilage, and by young goat, where roasting is all you need to do in order to render it edible, so that would be fine. Omahin Rashi cannot find v'asechusim, and that's a good description of the cartilage. So now we have a pshat in the Mishnah according to Rava, where basically the Mishnah is telling us is whatever I can render edible by a large ox, despite the fact that that rendering is going to have to require a lot of cooking, So that complementary piece in a young goat can be eaten despite the fact that you don't have to do a lot of cooking. All you need to do is just a little bit of roasting, which, of course, by the Karm Pesach, that's exactly what you're going to do. Tanya Kavase de Rav, the Gemara now points to a brisa that supports Rav's pshat, Kalanecha b'sharagad b'shlaka, anything that can be eaten in a large ox through a lot of cooking, Yochab b'gedir rach b'tzli, can be eaten by a young goat through a little bit of roasting. Umayin Rashi can find vasa chusim, and that would describe cartilage, v'gidin harachin, nidona kibasar. Now, as far as gidin are concerned, tendons, ligaments, so as long as they are soft, nidonim kebasar, they are to be treated like basar. They will be treated like meat, therefore one could, in fact, eat it and fulfill the mitzvah of Karm Pesach. Itmar, gidin shesofen lahakshos. Gemara now starts off a discussion. Let's say we know we have ligaments and tendons where, as the animal is extraordinarily young, it's soft and edible. But we know, however, that these tendons are really going to harden as the animal gets older. And so it's basically the question that we asked previously, but this is a little bit different. Because previously we were talking about rendering it edible through cooking. Now we're just talking about, we know that as the animal will mature, these ligaments are going to be nearly impossible to eat. But as the animal is right now really young and really soft, so it's edible. So what's the status of this? So Rav Yochanan Amar, Nimnin Alein BePesach, Reish Lakish Amar, Nimnin Alein BePesach. And the Gemara presents to us a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, where Rav Yochanan says that you can register over these parts of the carbon, meaning it, since they are currently edible, so therefore they qualify as Karm Pesach, and Reish Lakish disagrees. Rav Yochanan Amar Nimnin Alein Basar Hashal Zinan. Rav Yochanan says that what we do is that we follow the here and now. Since here and now they're currently edible, so therefore, halacha regards them as basar. Reish Lakish Amrei Nimnim Aleihem Basar B'sof Azlinan. And as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, no, since we know that they're going to harden, so therefore we do not look at the here and now, but we have to forecast into the future. And since we know that as the animal matures, these ligaments are always going to get harder, so therefore they are not going to be considered basar, even though currently they are soft and edible. Parenthetically, I should have pointed this out just moments earlier, but when we're talking about these tendons, these ligaments that are going to harden, so Rashi over here says that what we're describing are the gidin that run through the neck, as we discussed in yesterday's daf. Okay, Tosfos is a little bit troubled with Rashi's interpretation. Tosfos gives a different interpretation. Anyway, Eisvei. Well, let's go back to our Gemara. Let's just stay on the machlokas over here between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Eisvei, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan. The following challenge posed to Rav Yochanan: Kol anecha b'sharagado yochel b'gidi arach, o ma'hin rosh k'nafayim v'asachusim. So hani in avagi nishasof and lakshuslau. So the Mishnah talks about the limits of what's considered food and edible in the Karm Pesach, and the Mishnah points to the cartilage, which means that a simple deek in the Mishnah would be that only cartilage is considered food, but something like gidin, tendons and ligaments that are going to harden, so that doesn't make the cut, and they're not considered food, and that's a simple deek in the Mishnah. Amalei tani hani v'wadin lanach. So a simple answer would be, no, the Mishnah actually is not limited to cartilage. The Mishnah is just giving examples. The Mishnah happens to give the example of cartilage, but hu adin, same thing would be true regarding ligaments, tendons. So hani mai tamadi dahamitachli b'sharagad b'shlaka. So, and as far as cartilage is concerned, the reason why it's acceptable is because if I were to cook the sharagad and cook it really well, so I'm going to render it edible. So hani anach nami matachli b'shor hagad b'shlaka. So the same thing can be said regarding these ligaments and these tendons with ample cooking, so you can render them edible. So amale Rav Yirmiyah l'Rabbi Avin ki azus l'kami de Rabbi Abahu. So Rav Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Avin, look, next time you go in front of Rabbi Abahu, Rami Lay, I want you to ask him the following question. Mi amar Rav Yochanan gidin shesof lakshos nimnim alein b'pesach. So over here, the way we have it presented, Rav Yochanan says that we follow hashta, we follow the here and now. Since currently, as the animal is really young and really soft, and currently these ligaments can be are edible, so that's all we look at. We don't forecast the future, and we don't look at a point of maturation. So ama basa hashazlinan. So it's clear that's Rav Yochanan's position. V'habaymine Reish Lakish mei Rav Yochanan. But meanwhile, we're going to take the Gemara in Chulin, and we're going to take a look at a sugya in the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara at the end of the Perek Behemah Makasha. So the Gemara over there has a similar discussion, and the following question was posed to Rav Yochanan: Or a roshal egel harach mahu shi'itame. So you have the hide of a calf where it's really soft. So is it subject to tumas ochlin? So hopefully this is familiar. We asked a similar question yesterday regarding Tumas Ochlin. The basic idea is that all parts of the animal that are edible can in fact be susceptible to Tumas Ochlin. And you can have a transmission of Tumah to these foods. However, anything that is not edible in an animal is simply not eligible for Tumas Ochlin. Bones, for example, is not eligible for Tumas Ochlin. We're not talking about nevela. Nevela obviously is also applies to the meat of an animal, but that's if the animal didn't receive a proper shechita, and therefore the meat of that animal is an avatumah. We're just simply talking about where the meat was shechted, and it's just a question now of whether or not it is an edible portion that is eligible to become subject to Tumas Ochlin. So as far as the hide on the top of the head of a calf, so maushi tame. So is it subject to Tumas Ochlin? This is the question that was posed to Rav Yochanan. Va'amar lo ein matame. And Rav Yochanan says, no, not subject to Tumas Ochlin. Now, ama basa besof hazlinan. Okay, so now, what's Rav Yochanan's assumption over here? Clearly, the assumption of Rav Yochanan is that even though right now the hide of the on the head of the calf is really soft, but we know that what's going to happen is that the animal is going to mature, and that hide is going to toughen up, and it's going to become a non-edible, non-food entity. So it's clear over there from Rav Yochanan's answer that we don't follow the here and now, but we forecast the future. So Amalei deramalach ha lochash lekimche. So he says, okay, that question is a wonderful question. However, you didn't thoroughly research it. Literally, you didn't grind the wheat enough. You didn't research enough because how de Rav Yochanan legabe de Reish Lakish. And in fact, once you know Rav Yochanan's final conclusion, and Rashi takes us through the back and forth, but basically when all said and done, Rav Yochanan's final position is that we follow sof, we follow what happens in the end, meaning we do forecast the point of maturation. So that goes against everything that we said in this sugya, in this particular sugya, but that's exactly the Gemara's point, is that if you know Rav Yochanan and you know where he landed on the issue, so you'll know that Rav Yochanan ends up saying that that hochin achar sof. We look at the point of maturation. Since later it's going to harden and it therefore is going to be a non-edible, non-consumable food, so therefore we have to look at it even in its present state. And Va'amar Lein, on top of that, he also said, Al takni tenesha b'loshin yachin anishar no'osa. And he says, and look, you're going to challenge me from a Mishnah? Don't challenge me from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah that poses a difficulty against me, i.e. notably, our Mishnah over here. So he says, I learned that Mishnah b'loshin yachin, meaning it's not representing a majority position. It's representing a singular viewpoint, which is what we don't hold. So therefore, when the Gemara concludes, the Gemara's conclusion, Rav Yochanan, is that Rav Yochanan ultimately is of the position that when you're talking about ligaments and tendons that are going to harden, so we don't look at it as it's currently soft and edible, but we have to look at it in terms of what its final product is going to be. We look at the point of maturation. Similarly, that question regarding the hide of an animal where we know that the hide is going to harden, so over there also, you have to look at the future since it's going to get hard, so therefore it's not going to be subject to tumah, right? In both cases, his conclusion is that you have to look at the conclusion and not where at the current state of the animal. Okay, and that's where the Gemara concludes regarding Rav Yochanan, and it's interesting because our Gemara presents as if Rav Yochanan follows Hashta, follows the current, but as we have drawn to the conclusion of the sugya, it's clear now that Rav Yochanan always looks towards the sof regarding this particular halacha. Continuing now in the Gemara, we're in the Mishnah on Pei Dalam and Aleph Hashover Es Haetzem BePesach HaTorah. So you break a bone of a Karban Pesach. So as we pointed out already a couple of times, this Mishnah is going to take us through the actual onus, the punishment for breaking the bone of a Karban Pesach. It is an Isser unique to the Karban Pesach that we don't find by any other carbon, and that is that after the animal has been shecht and after the blood has been nizrak and while we're now eating the Karban Pesach, so you're not allowed to break the bone of the Karban Pesach. Etzem lo sish berubo, the Torah says very clearly, you're not allowed to break a bone. Sefer Chinuch over there, regarding the mitzvah of etzem lo sish berubo, the Sefer Chinuch says it has to do with the fact that the Karban Pesach obviously detailing, outlining, highlighting our emancipation. We are like free men. Free men eat with royalty and dignity. We don't break the bones. We don't try to get the marrow inside the bones. That's not how royalty eats. Okay, so good. Tama mikra. But anyway, right now we are with the Gemara, and we're obviously going to be detailing the legalities. And notably, that if one were to break a bone of the Karban Pesach, the Mishnah of Yisrael says Pesach HaTahor, right? The key in on that line, we're going to spend a lot of time with that line over the course of the remainder of today's daf. So I raise a loka arbayin, so subject to Malkus, meaning this is a classic Lav Sheyesh B'Maisa. and therefore one is subject to malchus if one intentionally violates this law, obviously with witness, obviously with a warning, etc., etc. Avalamosi betahor, but the Mishnah goes on to detail. Let's say you leave over nosar, which is an issue in the Torah. The Torah says lo sof siru mimenu ad boker. You're not allowed to leave any portion of the Karban Pesach over until morning, and you do. And you violate the Isser of Los Osir, or Hashover B'tame. Or let's say you break the bone of a Karban Pesach that's Tame, so Eino Lokos Arbaim, you're not going to be subject to Malkus. Now, for two different reasons, as the Gemara is about to explain, let's go right into the Gemara. B'Shlam Atahor, Mosi B'Tahor, D'Tanya. If you leave no sir of a kosher Karban Pesach, so you're not going to be subject to Malkus for one of two reasons. And this price that we've seen already numerous times, we get to review. Lo sasir mimenu ad boker, v'no sasir mimenu ad boker, ba'akas v'litein esei achar lo sasei. Going through the psukim and parshas bo, leaving over no sir, the Torah gives us very clear direction of what you're supposed to do. And that is that lo sasir mimenu ad boker, v'no sasir mimenu ad boker, ba'ish tisrofu. So as we've said already a number of times, so you leave over no sir, what do you do with the no sir in the morning? You burn a fire. Burning in a fire is a mitzvah esei. And what does that mean? That means that we have a lo sase followed by an esse. We describe that generally as a lava nitak lase. The Torah tells us how to remedy the situation. And so, lomer shein loka alav divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, by virtue of the fact that it's a lava nitak lase, therefore it's not going to be subject to malchus. Rabbi Yaakov omer lomer hashem huzeh. Rabbi Yaakov says that's not the reason why. Rabbi Yaakov is basically going to tell us that I agree that you are not going to receive malchus for leaving over no sir, but not for the reason of lavani taklase, but rather for a different reason. Elamisham davale lav shem b'maisa. What do you have to do in terms of leaving over no sir? And the answer is nothing. In other words, you just simply have to neglect the karban. But there's no action point. The only time you get malchus for a lav in the Torah is only if it requires an action, like breaking a bone. But over here, for leaving over no sir, it's just simply neglect, it's inactivity. And so for that, you're not going to get malchus. Vein lokin a lav. So Ella, so good. So we know why it is that you're not going to get malchus for leaving over no sar, either because it's a lav nitak lase or because it's a lav shein b'maisa. But Ella shover b'tamim minalan. But if I break the bone of a karm pesach that's tame, you're not going to get malchus. How do I know that? Where's that from? Damakra. The pasuk says that's from lo sish b'ru bo. When the Torah says that you're not allowed to break the bone of the Karban Pesach, it says the word bo is the miut. So, and the miut is telling me that the only time one is liable for malchus is only when you break the bones of a kasher Karban Pesach, not a disqualified Karban Pesach. The Gemara gives us a brisa. This brisa is going to elaborate on this point. Tanur Rabban and the Gemara teaches the following brisa. Ve'etzem lo sish b'ru bo b'kasher v'lo b'pasol. Rebbe Omer b'bayis echad yochel ve'etzem lo sish b'ru bo. Kol haroi la'achila yesh bo mishum shvir setzem ve'she'en. So in this braisa, there are recorded two positions. The first position is identical to what we just saw earlier. You only are going to get malchus for breaking the bone of a kasher Karban Pesach, not a pasul Karban Pesach. Rebbe in this braisa seems to be making a very similar point. Rebbe says that there is a correlation between the eating of the Karban Pesach and the breaking of the bone of the Karban Pesach. If one can eat the Karban Pesach, so then they're subject to the lav of etzem lo sish b'ru bo. But if you can't eat the Karban Pesach, so then there's no iser of, there's no lav of etzem lo sish b'ru bo. And now, the Gemara for the remainder of today's daf is going to focus on the following. The Tanakam and Rebbe Yehuda Anasi and this brisa seem to be making almost the identical point. But at the same time, however, the way the brisa is presented to us certainly sounds like there's a machlokas. So what is the machlokas, if any, between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi? The Gemara will come up with no less than 8 different possibilities in terms of what will be the difference between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And that will take us through the remainder of today's daf. May benayu. So what is the difference between the two? So here the Gemara begins. I'm Rav Yirmiyah Pesach Haba B'tuma Ike benayu. So let's say it's a Karban Pesach that's brought in a state of tuma. Laman damer kasher. We turn to the Amud Beis. Hi, Pasul. So the one who says that you're only subject to the lava v'etzem lo sish b'ru bo by Karban Pesach that's kasher, well, this is not kasher. This is a pasul. Now, even though the Torah gives us a dispensation that we're allowed to offer the Karban Pesach in a state of tuma, but that's just it. It's just a dispensation. It doesn't mean that the Karban Pesach now is a kasher Karban Pesach. Now, it's interesting. Rashi over here on the top of the Amud Beis writes, "Shenase b'pasul de tuma duchu yehi b'tzibor." Elisha kang zeres akasul le poshem bo. Okay, so, and it got me thinking that if I subscribe, now Rashi doesn't say this, and I'm just adding a thought, and you could dismiss it. But if we were to say Tuma Hutra B'tzibor, so then maybe this nafkamina wouldn't be true. Maybe the Karban Pesach that's being brought in the position of Tuma Hutra B'tzibor is in fact a kasher Karban Pesach, not a pasul Karban Pesach that the Torah allows. But anyway, but Rashi over here clearly is teaching us that we're working with the approach of Tuma Duchuya B'tzibor, and therefore the Karban Pesach is a pasul Karban Pesach, and therefore it's not going to be subject to etzem lo sish berbo. However, if you're saying like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi that the Isser of etzem lo sish berbo is connected to the achila, well, you're allowed to eat the Karban Pesach haba b'tuma. Right, we learned that a couple of Mishnayos ago, that the unique feature of the Karban Pesach, the Habba B'tuma, is that not only is the bringing of the Karban Pesach going to override the Tuma, but even the eating of the Karban Pesach is going to override the Tuma. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, there would in fact be an Isser of Etzem L'Sish Berbo, because there is a mitzvah to eat. Good. So that is Nafkamina number one, as presented by Rabbi Yirmia. Only seven more to go. Rav Yosef Amarki Agavna Dukulamaim Bob Mishum Shvira Sa'atim. Rav Yosef says, no, I don't agree. In such a situation where the Pesach is Baba Tuma, everyone would be in agreement that there is no Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berbo. The Rebbe La Kule Kasi. Because Rebbe over here is not trying to be Machmir on the Tanakhama's viewpoint. Rebbe's coming to give us a Kula. Rebbe's coming to broaden the cases in which there wouldn't be an Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berbo. Vahai Apasuhu. So, and over here, when you're talking about a Karban Pesach that's brought b'tuma, it's a pasul. So Rebbe would for sure in that case say that you would be a putter from the Avera of Etzem Lo Sish Berbo. So Ella, so here we go now with our second possible explanation, and that is, let's say the Karban Pesach had a moment of eligibility. Shechted properly, blood was sprinkled properly, and then only after the Zrikas Adam, the Karban becomes pasul for whatever reason. It had a Shasa Kosher. Lamanda Mekasher HaKasher Hu. So if you're connecting the Isser of Shvir Sesem to the fact that it is a Kosher Karban, it is a Kosher Karban. Now, granted, by the way, it's a little bit hard to argue because it only had a moment of eligibility. It is not kosher right now, but still, we could call it a kosher carbon. But if you're going to go like Rebbe, where to violate the Isser of Shviras Etzem, there has to be an allowance of achila over here. It may have had a shasa kosher, but right now you can't eat it. So he would say then that there's no Isser of Shviras Etzem. So that is the second afkamina put together by Rav Yosef. Abai Amar Abai says, no, Kuleyama Kolkei Agavna, Ein Bo Mishim Shvira Setzem. No. In that case, there for sure would not be an Isser Shvira Setzem, my Taima, Hashem Yaha Pasul, because even though I had a moment of eligibility, but right now, it is not a Kasha Karban. Everybody would describe it as Pasul. So Ella, so here we are now up to a third Nafkamina, Shvira Setzem, Mi Be'od Yom Ika Beinayhu. The difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is, what if I were to break the bone in the Karban Pesach in the afternoon? Obviously, after I shechted the Karban and after the blood was sprinkled, we still have some time before we're allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. Remember, Karban Pesach cannot be eaten until nightfall. So let's say now, anytime in the afternoon, after the Zrikas Adam, before nightfall, so we break bones. So Lamanda Mekasher HaKasher Hu. So if you subscribe to the idea that in order to be subject to the Isser of Shviras Etzem, the Karban has to be kosher. This Karban for sure is kosher. However, if, however, you hold like Rav Yehuda Anasi, that the Isser is connected with the allowance to eat it, but right now you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it until nightfall. And therefore, there wouldn't be an Isser of Shira Setzim. So, Meisvei, the Gemara challenges Rabbi Amar Nimna Amor Shabroshvei Nimna Amor Shabakulias. Nimnin Amor Shabroshvei Nimna Amor Shabakulias, period. Okay, the Mishnah, we're going to see this. We're going to see this upcoming. Rebbe's of the position that if you want to register for Karban Pesach and the part that you would like to register is the brain, perfect. If, however, you want to register for the marrow in the thigh, you can't do that. So, Amok Shabrosh, my time, Ahovi Yachalugor, Laud Sio. Now, as far as registering for the brain, so it's no problem. One can easily extract, I'm saying easily as if I've done it. Okay, we know I haven't, but one can extract the brain matter through let's say the openings of the nostril and not have to break a bone. So the Gemara says, by the thigh, so the marrow inside the thigh, there's no way of getting there without breaking the etzem. And breaking the etzem by Karm Pesach would be usur. So that's the distinction between the two. And now the Gemara formulates its question. Now, if you're telling me that you're allowed to break bone on the 14th in the afternoon, so then here's what you could do with the thigh. So you could break it already in the afternoon. Remove all the marrow. And then you could register over that marrow. So Abai says, I'm really unimpressed with that question, and I'll just counter with the following. Do you know that even at nightfall, there's still a way of getting the marrow out of the thigh bone, even though you're not allowed to break the thigh bone? So how do you do that? Nami naisi gumrasa. You'll take a piece of coal, obviously hot, v'nechus aleha, and you're going to put it on the thigh bone, v'nikla, and you're going to burn a hole through the thigh bone, v'nafka lamoach didei, and you can remove the marrow from the thigh bone, v'nimne aleha, and register over that marrow. That anyone who were to burn bones or cut the sinews, ligaments, tendons, is not subject to the iser of shiras etzem. So now, being that we have just figured out a way to get to the marrow of the thigh bone, so we have to go back to the brisa, and we have to understand the brisa a lot better. When it comes to the brains, so one could register for the Karban Pesach for the marrow in the brains, otherwise known as the brain itself. But when it comes to the marrow in the thigh bone, so you cannot register. And right now we're trying to figure out what's the difference between the two. And it has nothing to do with, well, I can't access the marrow of the thigh bone. We just went over a strategy that you can access the marrow of the thigh bone. So the Gemara gives a couple suggestions in terms of what the difference is. Abai Amar Mishum Paka. Rabbi says, look, if we try this procedure of burning a hole through the thigh bone, so what may end up happening is that with that heat that we're applying, so the bone may end up cracking. And if the bone cracks, so then we're going to be in violation of Shiras Etzem. That's one concern. Second concern, Rav Amar Mishum Hefzikachim. Rav says that, look, here's a concern in the way Rashi presents it. First let me read the Gemara. Deka mafsile biyadayim. Now let's go to Rashi. Rashi explains like this. What's going to end up happening is that you're going to take the coal and you put it on the bone in order to burn a hole through the bone. Now, this isn't microsurgery over here. What could easily happen, as Rashi explains, is that as you're trying to push the coal through the bone in order to burn this hole through the bone, what's going to end up happening is that the coal now has gone through the bone and now it's going to enter into the marrow. And you're going to destroy the marrow, meaning you're going to continue pushing the coal through the bone, not realizing that you've finished burning through the bone, and now you're going to burn some of the marrow, and you're going to be destroying kachim. We'd rather you not touch the thigh at all, rather than taking the risk of trying to burn a hole through the thigh bone and then end up burning some of the actual marrow itself. Gemara says, "Dama achanurim mi moach didei." Mi ba'ojom nami gzera. I'm sorry. Didei mi ba'ojom nami gzera mi ba'ojom atu mishachashecha. Now, even though it's true that these practices are done at night, but the reason why we ban these practices in the afternoon is because if we get comfortable with these practices during the afternoon, we may do them at night as well. And the Gemara doesn't say this, but you can add kula chad gzerihi. It's all one large gzera. And so as a result of that, so that's the difference between registering over the brain versus registering over the marrow of the thigh bone. With the brain, it's accessible. With the thigh bone, you in theory could access it, but the chachamim were so concerned and worried that you do so and it's really going to lead to mishap. So therefore, the Chachamim altogether banned an attempt to get into the thigh bone, to get to the marrow. Okay, and that was all a third possible explanation of the difference between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda Nasi in terms of when one is subject to the Isser of Shviras Etzem. And it has to do with the fact of you breaking the bone on the afternoon as opposed to the night. Rav Papa Amar, this is now going to be a fourth approach. But first, Rav Papa dismisses the previous. Rav Papa Amar, Kil Kay Agavna, Kol Yama Yesh Ba Mishum Shvirasa Etza, Maitaima, Lo'orta Mechse La'achila. Rav Papa says, look, you break a bone in the afternoon on the 14th, everyone's going to say you're going to be subject to the Isser Shvirasa Etzem. look, it's a kosher carbon Pesach, and even though right now you can't eat it, but everyone knows that you are going to eat it. Wait till tonight, you're going to eat it. So this is for sure going to be a case where everyone's going to agree that one is subject to the Isser of Shiras Etzem. So Allah be'ev shiyatz mikzasik miflegin. The debate of the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is talking about where you had a limb, part of the limb has been taken out of Yerushalayim. We know a carbon taken out of Yerushalayim is now going to be disqualified through the psul of Yotzei. We are describing where you have a limb where only part of the limb is taken out. Now the one who says that the Isser Shiras Etzem is tied to whether the carbon is kosher, the carbon is kosher. The fact that you took out part of the limb, so as we're going to learn together, so what you'll do is you'll shave off the meat that went out, but the actual remaining part of the limb is still going to be kosher. On the other hand, if it's going to be a function of achila, this is not going to be something that you can eat. So let's say you had a limb where part of it was taken out of your shlam v'shivro, and you were to break the bone, it's not going to be subject to Shvir Satsam. So you see over here that this position of Rav Yochanan ben Broka tells us that there's no Isser of Shvir Satsam because it's something that you're not going to eat. Meaning, as Rashi points out, Rav Yochanan ben Broka is to be put in line together with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So this was the fourth approach. Rav Sheshes Bered Rabbi Yidiamar Kol Kei Agav Nedukul Yama Ein Ba Mishum Shvir Satsam Dahai Aver Ha Pasol Hu. So according to Rav Sheshes, no. In this case over here, everyone say that there's no Isser Shvir Satsam because once you take out part of the limb, so you're not going to call that a Pesach Kasher. You're going to call that a Pesach Pasol. And therefore, you're not going to be subject to the Isser of Shvir Satsam. Ella. So we are now up to the fifth possible Nafka Mina between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda Nasi, and that is Shvir Satsam Bina. Breaking the bone of an animal of a carbon Pesach that was partially roasted. We learned together, partially roasting a carbon Pesach and eating that partially roasted carbon Pesach is going to be an Isser. Now, Ika Binayu, that's going to be the difference between them. Manda Mekasher HaKasher Hu. Now, if it's the Isser Shvir Satsam is all a function of whether or not you have a kosher apostle carbon Pesach, it's a kosher carbon Pesach. It was partially roasted. That doesn't make it a non-kosher carbon Pesach. It just simply means that you're not allowed to eat at this point in time. And if the issue is whether or not you can eat it or you cannot eat it, well, as partially roasted, you're not allowed to eat it. So we have a nafkamina. This was the fifth nafkamina. Rav Nachman, Yitzchak Amar Kol Kei Agavna, Yesh Ba Mishum Shvir Satsam, Mai Tama Dahachazi Lachila Dematvei Leiva Achalei. Rav Nachman, Yitzchak says, no. In such a case, even though it was partially roasted, everyone would say that there's still going to be an Isser Shvir Satsam. You can't eat it right now, it's partially roasted state? Of course not. Do you know that when you roast an animal, it's always going to go through a partially roasted stage? And that means to say that the partially roasted stage can just simply be viewed as en route to becoming fully roasted. And so therefore, even according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, one would be subject to the Isser Shvir Satsam, because even though right now you can't eat it, but it's heading towards something that you can eat. What if I break the bone of the tail of the animal? The tail of the animal on one hand is considered carbon Pesach, which is kosher. On the other hand, but if it is a function of whether you can eat or not, so high in the alya, something we learned at the very beginning of our Masechta, the tail of a sheep goes up onto the Mizbeach, and we are not allowed to consume it. And so therefore, according to Rav Yehuda Nasi, even though it is a kosher carbon, but because we can't eat it, therefore not going to be subject to the Isser Shvir Satsam. Rav Ashi Amar Kol Kei Agav Nevadai Ein Bo Mishum Shvir Satsam Daha Vadai Eino Roi Lachila Kla. What are you talking about? Everyone would say that the bone in the tail is not going to be subject to the Shvir Satsam because under no circumstance would you be allowed to eat it, and therefore not going to be subject to the Isser Shvir Satsam Ella. This is now going to be our seventh nafkamina. Let's say you have a limb and there's marrow, but it does not have a kezias. Now, is there going to be an Isser Shvir Satsam? So if Shvir Satsam is a function of whether or not you have a kosher carbon Pesach, you do have a kosher carbon Pesach. But if you're connecting it to whether or not it is Roy La'achila, be in Shir Achila Veleka. Well, we know that achila, by definition, has a shear. The shear of achila is a kezias, and you don't have that over here. So, and that would be a possible nafkamina. Ravina says, no, kilkei gavna, lace bay mishum shvira zetzem to be in shira achila. Nah. Under these circumstances, for sure there's not going to be an isur shvira zetzem because everyone would say that there has to be a shira of achila. So ela eva she'in alav kazayis basar b'makom zevi yesh alav kazayis basar b'makom acher ika beinayhu. And the eighth possible nafkamina between the two is, let's say, in the area where you broke the bone, there is no basar, there's no kezayis basar, but elsewhere within the area of that bone, not on the area of the break, but elsewhere in the area of the bone, there is a kezayis. Lamanda mekasher hakasher hu. Now, to the one who says that the iser of shiras etzem is connected to a kasher karban pesach, this is a kasher karban pesach. Lamanda amarai lachila beinan shir achila bimakom shvira. Valeka. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who says that it has to be Rai La'Achila, not only has to be Rai La'Achila, but the appropriateness of Achila has to be in the same area in which you break. Tanya Karba Minayu De Tanya. And then we're going to finish off today with noting that we're going to quote a Brisa now that is going to give us four of the eight nafkaminas that we just went through. De Tanya, the Gemara goes through the Brisa, Rabbi Omer, right? Rabbi over here being Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Omer, b'baisa echad yechal v'etzem lo sishbur bo. Ala kashur chayv eno chayv al apostle. So this brisa starts off by introducing us to the shita of Rabbi, which is that in order to be subject to the isser of shviras etzem, so it has to be a karm pesach, which is kasher. Now, it's interesting because for this entire amud, we were describing kasher as a shita of the Tanakhama, not the shita of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but within the context of this brisa, kasher over here means something that you can eat. And now, we're going to go through a number of examples in this brisa, and four in total, and four obviously matching four of the eight nafkaminas, and let's go through them. Number one, haisal shasa kosher v'nifsal v'shasa achila ein ba mishum shvirasa etzem. So let's say it did have a shasa kosher, but it just happens to be that you broke the bone after it was no longer eligible, meaning after it became pasul. So because at the time when you broke the bone, you couldn't eat it, therefore it's not subject to shvirasa etzem. So if you remember, I made a chart. So I made notes for myself. That's how I remember. So this was the shita of Rav Yosef. That was the second position. Next, yesh bo shir achila, yesh bo mishum shviras etzem, ein bo shir achila, ein bo mishum shviras etzem. So if there is a shir of achila, so then it will be subject to shviras etzem. But if there is no shir of achila, so then it will not be subject to shviras etzem. So that idea of having an amount of shear, so Rashi says that goes like the shita of Ravina. Yeah, you could argue it also goes like the shita of Ravashi as well, but Rashi over here clearly puts it in alignment with the shita of Ravina. That was the eighth nafkamina. Next one. Harai lemizbeach ein ba mishum shviras etzem. Something which is fifth of mizbeach is not subject to shviras etzem. So as Rashi points out, so that was the sixth nafkamina. That was the nafkamina of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. And then finally, b'shas achila yishba mishim shviras etzem, shlo b'shas achila ein ba mishim shviras etzem. Let's say you were to break the bone at a time where it is you're not allowed to eat it, i.e. the afternoon. This takes us all the way back to Abaye. So then one is not going to be subject to the isser shviras etzem. So within this brisa, so we have covered four of the eight possible nafkaminas, with this brisa clearly endorsing the nafkaminas of Rav Yosef, Ravina, Rav Nachman, and Abaye. Okay, and we get to recap the beginning of the daf on Pei Dalman Aleph. So we talked about the parts of the animal that are edible. The big discussion of both the Mishnah and the Gemara is that the Karban Pesach is coming from a one-year-old, really young, really soft. You pretty much can eat every part of the animal. Ligaments, tendons, cartilage, all parts of that, all parts of the carbon are in fact really soft and really edible. And so can we take advantage of it and say that one will fulfill his mitzvah if he eats those parts of the carbon? Or do we say no, that as the animal gets older, develops, matures, so these parts are going to get harder? And do we have to look at them not as they are currently constituted, but rather how they're going to look in the future? That turned into a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And the conclusion is that Rav Yochanan says that we have to look at the future and not as it's currently constituted. Now, the way the Gemara originally presented the Machlokes Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, that's not how it presented, but the Gemara notes that based on the Gemara Nechulin, the Sugya Nechulin, so Rav Yochanan did an about face and his position ended up being that he had Charata, and he basically said that we don't look at the Hashta, but we look at the Sof, we look at how it's going to be. Next Mishnah, talks about the breaking of the bone of the Karm Pesach. If one were to break the bone of a Karm Pesach, that is a Karm Pesach Tahor, subject to Malkus, it's a Lav Sheish B'maisa. However, leaving over Nosar, or breaking the bone of a Tamei Karm Pesach, so there you're going to not get Malkus. As far as Nosar, leaving over Nosar, there are two possible reasons why you're not going to get Malkus. Either because it is a Lavani Taklase, or because it's a Lav Sheish B'maisa. As far as breaking the bone of a non-kosher carbon, so why are you not going to get Malkus? So it's a drasha. Etzem lo sishbru bo, because of a lo bepasol. Then the remaining part of today's daf is that we had a brisa on the bottom of Pedalam and Aleph. The brisa brought in the sheet of the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, Hanasi, connecting the Isser of Shviras Etzem to that of having a kosher carbon Pesach. They both seemingly are making the same point, but the Gemara notes that there's a subtle difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda and Hanasi. What is that subtle difference? 8 possible nafkaminas that the Gemara goes through all of the Amud Beis in terms of what are the possible differences between them. I'm not going to go through each one of the 8 again, but 8 possible nafkaminas. And then the Gemara quoted a Brisa at the end of the daf, where the Brisa presents 4 of the 8 that we went through.